Now, I want you to open your Bibles today. We have some things that we're going to drop into your spirit by the Spirit of God to encourage your heart and encourage your life about honor in your house. Honor in your house. So, praise God. Everybody say, Lord, I'm ready to receive your word and your will for my life. All right. So, to preface this out, before we get into any scripture here, I want you to think about what God has prepared for you and provisioned for your house, this house, the church, and your family, and your church family. One of the big ones is peace. And we said it before, we'll repeat it again. When honor and esteem leaves either your house or this house, the church house, peace leaves. And when peace leaves, the anointing doesn't work. And things get dried up and stopped up, spiritually speaking. Answers to prayer stops, miracles and manifestations toned down. We saw it in the ministry of Jesus. We've seen it in the instructions through the Apostle Paul. When honor and esteem leaves, peace leaves. Now, peace is more than just everybody quiet and calm. Peace is the Hebrew word, shalom, means nothing missing. In the relationship context or in the situational context of that house or this house. Nothing's missing. We're not missing something. Nothing's broken and nothing's lacking. It means wholeness. It means soundness. So peace is a contributor to people being healed easily. When honor and esteem leaves, peace leaves. There's peace that's needed, supernatural, not technical peace. Like I said, when everything is calm, quiet, and no, you don't hear any sounds or noise or rattling or anything like that. I'm talking about the peace that passes all understanding, the peace of God. Amen. Our Father God likes honor. He loves honor. He's an honor. He wants honor culture in our home, honor culture in the church house. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And so those are one of the powerful products. Honor is also the key to promotion. Dishonor is always, you can be traced to loss and lack and limitation. So a question we have up front is, are you building your house with honor or breaking your house with dishonor? Now, I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures in Proverbs before we get to Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10 is where I want you to, we're going to start, but I want to give you these scriptures in Proverbs just to seed them into you. Proverbs 12:7, New Living Translation, if you guys can put that up there. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous, the house of the righteous will stand. The house of the righteous, New King James. The house of the righteous will stand. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:1. A wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with their hands. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Proverbs 14:11. The house of the wicked will be overthrown. The house of what? The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will the tent of the upright will flourish. Can you guys put that up? Or is it not able? Okay. Okay. The house, Proverbs 14:11. That was the house, Proverbs 14:11. Proverbs 15:6. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. I know it's everything in this house. But the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The revenues of the wicked is trouble. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting and strife. In other words, better to have no food than a house full of food with strife there. And my last scripture I'll give you, Proverbs 24:3-4. Proverbs 24:3-4. Through wisdom, a house is built. And we know the foolish is the opposite of that. It's broken down. And understanding, it is established by understanding. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You fill all the rooms with pleasant and precious riches. Now, here's the theme you see in Proverbs. We've been reading Proverbs from last week's fasting. And I derived some of those scriptures from there, but from the reading. But you can see that the honor and wisdom connection that should be working in the house. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the moral and spiritual essence of honor is to be operating in the house. Everybody say, a house of honor. All right, Galatians 6:10, New Living Translation says, therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, you should do good to who? Everyone, especially those in the family of faith. I know it says in the New King James, household of faith. So in your house, either your personal house or your church house, you have to be a valuable part and a partner, and it has everything to do with three key things in your life. Your protection, number one, your promotion, number two, and your prosperity, number three. Your valuable part and a partner has to do with three things, key things. Your protection, everybody say my protection, my promotion, and my prosperity. You cannot neglect or negate the natural family responsibilities and relationships that require your love, your honor, and your faith to experience promotion, protection, and prosperity. Protection, promotion, and prosperity. Now let's see this, some example of this in Malachi 1, Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. Malachi chapter 1 through verse 1 through 10. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel, to Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Lord. Yet Jacob I love, but Esau I have hated. Well, let's stop right there. And laid waste his mountain and his heritage for the jackals in the wilderness. Let me stop right there for a moment. Now, when it talks about he hated Esau, now, if you remember, Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. Jacob was the younger brother, and they were in rivalry in the womb of their mother. And Esau was born first, but when he's saying here, I love Jacob, he said, I favored Jacob more. And you'll find out if you study Jacob's life, because he honored God more. Esau didn't honor God. And we find today, even what's going on in the Middle East, listen to me, that's Esau's descendants. the brothers are still fighting. See, Jacob's descendants came to Israel, became Israel. And Esau's descendants became all the, a lot of the Arab nations and Canaan and all of, all been fighting since the Old Testament. And that's the context we need to see this phrase that he uses in verse 3. Esau I hated, but Jacob I loved. It's not that he didn't love Esau. He just favored Jacob more because of honor. Now listen to this. Verse 4. Even through Edom, he said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus said the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw it down. Throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes will see, and you shall say, but the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. Look at verse 6. He begins to get down into some details. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name. Remember we said that's part of dishonor. That's part of defame. That's part of hating. To despise, to detest, and to dishonor people. So despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? He said, you offered defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is this not evil? What's the answer, church? Yes. And when you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? Is it not evil? The answer is yes. Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who then is among you who would not shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire upon the altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Again, you go back to the concept of Cain and Abel. Abel's offering was accepted because it was the first, and he honored God first with his best. And you see, Abel, he brought what was left over. He wasn't mad because he was a farmer. That he was supposed to bring his fruits and his harvest. But he didn't bring the first harvest. He brought the last harvest. And that's why God rejected it. And he rejected it. Why? Because it didn't honor him with his first and with his best. See, and you find the blessing that got shifted from Esau to Jacob from Isaac, even though Jacob was the youngest son. So you got to realize that there's ranking and honor in every family, in every church family. You got to understand it. Honor is required on the chain of authority in your life. So things that we must do as children of God is stay in faith and stay honoring. Now, what happens in a house, typically, people get too familiar with each other and they either take each other for granted or talk to each other any kind of way, or we lose that area of honor and respect and esteem. Amen. And the same thing in the church. They get too familiar. We said it 2 weeks ago. The people in Mark chapter 6 fell into what we call the familiarity zone. Hey, Jesus, how you get all that stuff? How you get all that power and that wisdom? And he's no longer the prophet anointed Messiah. To them, he's just Joseph's boy. Isn't it this carpenter's son? Isn't his brothers and sisters are here with us? How do you get to all that stuff? How do you get all that wisdom? And how do you get all those miracles? So what do? They reduced Jesus, and they also rejected that chain of authority that he had as the Messiah, the anointed one. And you see it with parents sometimes. They get rejected or reduced by their children or grandchildren in the house, and the spiritual channel in the church, he's now just brother. Familiar. Amen. Now, remember, we said it before. Let me say it again. That there's two parts to the gospel. Two. Everybody say two. That we must remember. The person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus prepares you for eternity. The principles of Jesus prepare you for earth, to live successfully on earth. The person of Jesus creates your peace. The principles of Jesus create your prosperity, your progress, and your promotion. There's no relationship between you loving God and your financial success in this example. Because, for example, atheists and what we call heathens can hate and rebel against God, never serve God, and still be billionaires. We know it. We see them on TV. And Christians can love God and still be broken and lacking in poverty. Prosperity is linked to laws. Prosperity is linked to principles. And we said there's a law of honor. There's a principle of honor. Psalms, it says this in Psalms 112, 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere, and an entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Now, that's powerful. Everybody say, that's powerful. And see, what's the principle? How joyful are those who do what? Fear the Lord and delight in his commandments, obeying his commandments. That's the principles. Praise God. And the children will be successful. And what? Their entire generation of godly people will be blessed. It's linked to that law. 90% of success is decided by knowing who and what to honor. That's why we said parents and grandparents should be insistent on teaching honor. There's one difference between your present and your future, and it's who you decide you will start honoring. And honor begins at home, in your house, in your church house. Now, what's the law here? 1 Samuel 2:30. Let's all look at it on the board. And if you can read, let's read it together. New Living Translation. 1 Samuel 2:30. Ready? Read. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. And so remember, we shared with you before this honoring God because he's in heaven, but he has left us things and people to honor in our lives that reflect and represent honor toward God. And he said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. If you despise me, that means the things I left for you to honor, there's seven things. We said there's seven minimum things that you should honor. Number one was the Word of God. Number two, we said, was the Holy Spirit. Amen. You need to honor your parents. Even though they're not perfect, and they may get up there in age and they make mistakes, you honor your parents. Amen. Don't get caught disrespecting your parents because God looks at it. You violated a law, a principle. You dishonored me. And then you have to honor your spouse. You have to honor spiritual leaders, ministry gifts, meaning pastors, prophet, you know, those in authority, spiritual authority. You got to honor them. Right? And we said you got to honor your employers. That means we should not run down, defame, and degrade our boss behind his back or her back. I know ministry leaders who will, you know, one and done, termination, if they find that there's strife and backbiting in their ministry. The quickest way to lose your job, get in strife, backbites. Gossip about the company or the ministry in this case, or gossip about people, causes a problem. It's a culture of dishonor when people gossip, backstab, and slander. I'm not getting too many amens, but let's keep going. It's a principle. I mean, I heard Brother Copeland talk about it Friday night. And he said he was behind $1 million and $6 million. He was talking more about the $6 million. And he's behind $6 million. He said, I'm going to fly into the Ozarks where they have that cabin. They have a cabin retreat. And he's going to fast and pray and seek God. And Sister Gloria said, yeah, I think that's good. Because he's $6 million behind those TV bills and stuff. Anybody ever been $6 million behind? No, none of us have experienced that kind of pressure. And sometimes it feels like it when you're behind a lot, right? And so it don't matter how much it is, the pressure's still there, right? So he went up there to fast and pray, and the Lord was telling him. Third day. Not even through third year yet. Two days and some change, the Lord's talking to him. Because it like we did last week, it's not just him praying, God's talking too. You're having conversations with God. And he said, your problem is not money. And he sat up in prayer. He's out there praying out there on his patio of his, the house out there. And he said, Lord, you could have fooled me. I'm looking at the bills. There's $6 million behind. What did he tell him? He told him, and you can go back and listen to he said, you got a spiritual problem in your ministry. He said, I can give you the $6 million today, and just in a short period of time, you'll be $6 million behind again. Because you hadn't dealt with the root cause of that issue. The root cause of that issue was this whole honor thing. Getting into strife and allowing people to be gossip mongrels in the ministry. Stepping out of love, walking in unforgiveness. That'll make you broke. That'll break the bank. Are y'all here? So he said, and the Lord revealed to him, I know what you're talking about, Lord. I got to deal with that. So he didn't need to be fasting and praying anymore. He just need to deal with that issue. We said it last week, a week before, all honor is tied to all loss. Dishonor. Dishonor is tied to loss. Limitation and lack. And we said this, talking about honor. Honor is basically to give what is due. Romans 13, when you read that chapter, it tells you this key phrase, give honor to whom honor is due. Now, when you look at those seven areas that I just mentioned earlier, the Word of God, Holy Spirit, you know, parents, spouse, spiritual leaders, so forth and so on, employees, all those areas, there has to be honor due. Honor is about how I treat you, not how they treat you. It's personal. We personally have a honor walk, a love walk, and an honor walk. Amen. That's why when Smith Wigglesworth was backslidden, and he called himself a backslidden buzzard. He was very mean, ugly, and nasty. I mean, he fell hard. He was saved, and then he went back. He's hard to deal with. And he said, next to Jesus Christ, the person I owe the most to was his wife, because his wife realized honor, love, and honor. She said, she helped love the H-E-double-L out of me and love me back to Jesus, but also she honored the Lord through the whole process. She didn't give in to his fury and his anger and his frustrations. Are you listening to me? And what happened, you know, when it came time to go to church or go to revivals, she said, I love you, but I love Jesus more. She honored God first and still honored him. She said, I do everything you need me to do here at the house, but I'm going to the church. I'm going to the meeting. She said, I'm a good wife to you all the way around. I cook for you. I clean for you. I do take care of you. The wife duties for you. Everything I do, I love you, but I love Jesus more. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, honor is more about my character than your character. It's more about my conduct than your conduct. It's more about my commitment than your commitment. To love, honor, and esteem. Now listen to this very closely. You and I must ascertain whether we're acting too familiar or showing flattery, because flattery is a form of disrespect and disregard, because it's fake honor. Has anybody been flattered before? And they buttering you up, and you can almost feel, I'm getting ready for a setup. They buttering me up. See, familiarity and flattery are close. Flattery is more manipulative. Amen. Familiarity is kind of hidden a little bit, and it starts to slide down gradually where you reduce people and reject people. Oh, that I don't even receive him as pastor anymore. Oh, I don't receive him as parent anymore. I'm grown. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. You have to ascertain whether you're acting too familiar or showing flattery, or we're demonstrating honor and esteem in our house and in our church house. Now, we said this, honor is more about how I see you and how I treat you than how you see me and treat me. Dishonor is the seed for loss and limitation. You can trace it back to where you dishonored someone, to some spiritual law. Now, I want you to turn to me to Genesis chapter 9. We'll see another quick illustration. I'm going to start at verse 18. And it's about Noah and his sons. And I had mentioned ranking before, but we'll see it here. But you'll have to study it out to see it throughout the Bible. Ham was demoted, not promoted. Now, honor is key to progress. Now, it says in verse 18, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark, now they'd just been in an ark. Some scholars say 18 months, some say a little bit more, but a little bit less. But, you know, kind of a average guesstimate is about 18 months. But I think the Bible teaches that or tells that. So they were in the boat for 18 months. So they came out, they're coming out of the boat. Now here's what happened. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these, the whole earth was populated. Japheth, we know, was the European nations. And Ham was more of the Middle East African nations. And Shem primarily was the Jewish or Hebrew nations. So just general sense there. And Noah began to be the farmer, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Now, y'all know what that means. I'm not going to say it because the kid's in here. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, notice, there's a little bit of gossip here. Now, go with me here, just in your mind for just a minute. See the double-tongued and the gossip and slander. He going out telling his other brothers, look, daddy done got drunk. Now, this great man of God, you think about it. He was the only family left. And you think of the weight and the gravity of seeing all the people he grew up with. Now, it took him 120 years to build that ark. And you figure he talked to and knew a lot of people. And all those people now are gone. And you think about that and the pressure that that brought. And I got to restart the whole population of the earth because everything was destroyed underwater. Yes, he messed up. He got drunk. But Ham didn't respond right. And then Shem took Japheth, took a garment, and laid it both on their shoulders and went in what? Backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's what? All right, so where's my boys at? Where's Donnie? Come on, guys. Come on, give him a hand. Tracy, I need your help. Get a sheet or a towel right there. All right, we're gonna see if Donnie and Dre can walk backwards with the sheet all the way back to the back row. Amen. Come on, let's give them another hand as they hear. So symbolize honor. Honor and love covers. The Bible even says a love, then Peter, love covers. Come on, stand with Sister Tracy. Now you gotta turn around and face me. Because you're going to walk backwards down the aisle. We'll see how you guys can do covering here. Hold that. You go back with Miss Tracy. Donnie. Go back. Yeah, there you go. Now stretch it out over your shoulder. Like, hold it to your shoulder. There you go. And don't look backwards. Now, see if they can fit down the aisle real good. There you go. So this is Japheth. And Shem. Now, when I said honor covers, thank you. Look at it. Walk backward. Don't look backwards. All right. Go all the way back to Brother Lou. Right there. That's good. Praise God. Come on back up front. Let's give him a hand. And stand by because I might use it one more time. But go ahead and take a seat right now, and then I'll take care of you in a minute. All right. Y'all see the difference there? You see the difference? So Ham went and tried to spread his father's sin. Now I know sometimes, I'm talking about honoring the house. I know sometimes family members make mistakes. I'll be the first one to raise both hands the numerous mistakes I've made. But see, we got to be like Shem and Japheth and not carry out that sin and communicate that sin to other people and make it worse and invoke a curse. We have to cover. Somebody say praise the Lord. Not all the time a family member is in the right mood or have the right manners. Are you listening to me? Are you covering or uncovering? Are you honoring or dishonoring? Now listen to this. And Noah awoke, verse 24. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done to him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brother." Now, history tells us some other things, which I won't mention here because I can't give you scripture and verse for it, but there's some historical things behind this that Canaan did when he saw nakedness. Because he heard about it, he went in there, and he did some pretty not necessarily honoring things. When he saw his grandfather drunk and naked. We have to be cautious of any level in the family making fun of the leaders of that family. Are you listening to me? But we have to model that in our own mouths, in our own manners, on how we treat members of the family. Remember, honest about how I see you and how I treat you. Are you listening to me? Now let's keep going. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant, and may God enlarge Japheth." Now who got blessed? "That he may dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 150 years. Now he was 120 something years more, more than that, about 160 years before the flood and then after the flood. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. He had been living a long time. So how many times in a family or in a house people are critical or cynical or complaining? They're always calling out what's not right, what's not perfect, and what's not good about what they did. Amen. We have a choice. And if you study Shem, Ham, and Japheth, because of this act of dishonor, you know, you find a lot of things, bad things happening to Ham's descendants. I mean, part of Ham's descendants were Nimrod, the first barbaric leader. World leader, Tower of Babel, those folks came out of hand, you know, because of dishonor. You and I have to insist on honor in the house. Are you listening to me? Anytime, like I said, you get too familiar, It'll lead you to dishonor upon the chain of authority. You're a man and woman of God, and then you stop, shut down, and squander the anointing on them to break you through and to bless and benefit you. As we said earlier, peace and esteem, honor, when honor and esteem leaves, peace leaves, and things get messed up. Amen. Anytime you get too familiar, you fall into that familiar zone, you get trapped. And we said familiar always breeds contempt. And you can tell somebody's contempt when they're complaining, they're critical, or cynical. Sometimes you have to get in the habit of forgiving the critic before you even get involved with them. You know they're always going to say something, but forgive in advance. Amen. Keep honoring your house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you study the reference to scriptures. Ham was the second child, but he was always mentioned last throughout scripture in ranking. How many of you know there's ranks in the family? There's a chain of authority in every house. And we're told to always honor up on the chain of authority. Because it's tied to what? Protection, promotion, and prosperity. Why did the first commandment come with a promise? Ephesians chapter 6. That it be well with you. And you live long on the earth. Amen. How many of you want it to go well with your children and your grandchildren? Well, what did he say? Honor thy what? Father and thy what? Mother. Because that's the first commandment with a promise. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And there's three goals for authority. The authority in your life is for protection. The authority in your life, you know, you can think about parents, police, military, civil leaders, school leaders. Authority in your life is for promotion. Everybody say promotion. Psalm 75:6. It said, for promotion comes neither from the east nor the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Look at this. James 4:10, New Living. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and that he will lift you up in honor. He will lift you up in honor. James 4:10, New Living Translation. And then number three, prosperity. The first step toward prosperity is to honor your natural parents and your spiritual parents. I just quoted the verse a little bit, but let me read it in New Living Translation. Ephesians 6:1-3. Let's, children, obey your parents because they belong to the Lord. Because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother, for this is the commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and there you will have a long life on the earth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you honor your honor what they taught you. Respect their voice and honor their vessel. Hallelujah. This is a major key to strongly embrace that honor. Authority is the path to prosperity. Now, let me just close with this thought for you to have with you. Because I want to give you some secrets here. Scripture here. John chapter 8:44, it says, for you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. John 8:44, New Living. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he was always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he has it when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now here, just because you go to church doesn't mean God is your heavenly father. Now here, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was talking to churchgoers, religious leaders. He called them children of the devil. Did you know there could be children of the devil in the house or in the church house? Jesus said the devil was their father. Why did he say that? Number one, they love to do evil things like the devil does. They dishonor God. Number two, they were murderous, mean-spirited, and mad all the time at someone. And it's the nature of their father's heart, just like the devil. And number three, they hate it. Now remember, hatred is to despise, detest, and to dishonor. Just like the devil does. He does it with truth. He does it with people in truth. And people that hate operate the same way. They like to lie, just like the devil is the father of lies. Now listen to what Psalms 101 verse 7 says. Psalms 101 verse 7. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and liars will not stay in my presence. Revelations 22:15, New Living Translation says, outside the city are dogs and sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all those who love to live a lie. And they rejected Jesus, therefore they rejected God the Father, just like the devil did. They didn't receive Jesus or respect Jesus. Now, rejection is kind of like the root to the depression, despair, and being divisive, and being a derelict and dishonoring in your duties and roles and your responsibilities in your house. Now, some people act in despair. They act as a divisive influence. They act as a derelict of duties. We used to use that in a military term. And they have depression. They're always dark and down and discouraged all the time. What's the cause of all that? Well, it's usually rejection. Why did, go back to Cain and Abel, why did Cain kill Abel? His offering was rejected. He was not received. He felt rejected. And then he acted out that thing by pretending to be a buddy with his brother. But there was no honor in the house because he what? Killed his brother. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You always have to honor in the house. Honor the correct priority structure. Now, I don't have time because of time. Jude 1 tells us about Michael, the archangel, when disputing over the body of Moses. Now, Michael's an archangel. And he didn't say, I rebuke you. He left that up to the Lord. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Now listen to me. He knew Lucifer was an angel. And he was in charge of the earth. He was the anointed cherub that covered. But he had fallen. Because see, that's, you always experience loss when there's no honor. He didn't honor God. God dropped him down and called him the devil, Satan. You got to see this. And here's Michael, the warrior angel, come and get Moses' body, and Satan's vying for it. He said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Read it in Jude. Why didn't he do it himself? Why didn't he just fight the devil and just take Moses' body? Because you never correct up. The Bible even says, don't rebuke an elder. You never correct up on the chain of authority. You always honor up. And he knew that principle. Think about when, and I'm just throwing out some examples here. when Paul was imprisoned and he was carried and the high priest came in and smacked him. He didn't know he's a high priest. And Paul got really mad about it. He said, "You smack me, you whitewash wall." And everybody said, "Oh, how dare you revile the Lord's high priest?" And what happened? Paul repented and recanted. "I did not know that he was the high priest." He said, he quoted the scripture, "You shall not revile the Lord's high priest." Amen. In other words, you don't speak evil or talk ugly about the chain of authority. Somebody say hallelujah. These priorities and these authorities represents, demonstrate values that we had to pass on. The right priorities promote health and growth and important things in our lives. Wrong priorities prohibit growth and health. And everybody needs three essential priorities: God, family, and church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, I'm closing with this thought. A healthy family is characterized by order and mutual respect or honor. Where proper elements of health and growth are present in families, where proper parental authority is exercised and practiced. God has invested in parents an authority that flows from Him for the purpose of extending His will into their families and beyond. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, the word kingdom means direct rule and authority. See, the focus of the submitted Christian life is to submit to the authority and the will of God every day. Jesus should be Lord of our lives, our marriages, our families, every day. Can somebody say amen? So in this way, we live the blessing of God's peace and presence. And the Bible teaches us that authority is from God and it is for our good. Submission to authority is considered a virtue, and rebellion is considered a serious sin. You know, 1 Samuel 15:22-23. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the commandment of the Lord, this principle, remember we're talking about, there's the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. He said, you have rejected, he has rejected you as king. You'll never get ahead dishonoring. Why did God choose Abraham? Because he commanded his children after him. Was Abraham perfect? No, he wasn't. But God said, he honored me. He honored his father. And he'll teach his children honor. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, that's enough for today. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.